Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. I am so excited for you to hear the interview that is upcoming. I did it a couple of days ago. The gentleman who came on the program today is someone by the name of Charleston Young, who, you know, if you're a casual NBA fan or even probably a casual college hoops fan, you may not know the name. Well, let me tell you, he's kind of an important guy because so Florida State University has two possible prospects that will go in the lottery of this upcoming NBA draft. And it follows a trend for that school that has been going on the last several years of, more significant players coming their way than maybe had originally been under their head coach Leonard Hamilton's tenure, including someone very big that is coming down the pike next year, but we won't get into him yet. Anyway, Charleston Young has been there for the last 7 years, and since he arrived, and he is, you know, in charge of their recruiting efforts, that part of their game has stepped up significantly. And I think by the end of this interview, you are going to know why. He does an amazing job pumping up both of his guys, Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams, both of whom, as I understand it, are heavily on the Knicks' radar. But he also gives you some great insights. And even though, you know, this is a spot with someone who, you know, is pretty clearly biased towards a couple of kids that he is rooting very hard for, I think you're going to get some insight into both of these young men that you aren't going to find in any other places. So great interview with Charleston Young coming up. As a reminder, the Knicks Film School newsletter is also doing prospect breakdowns every week. I actually did both of these kids because I knew this interview was going to be coming up for Monday and Tuesday's newsletter. So if you missed either of those, make sure you subscribe to the Knicks Film School newsletter. You can find that link in my Twitter bio, at JC Macri NBA, of course. And I think that's it. So we're going to get to that interview in a minute. But first, a very quick reminder. You know what time it is. I talk about them every week because, hey, listen, if you're going to bet the games anyway, and let me preface my bookie ad read with a reminder that the NBA Finals are here. And listen, if you think the Miami Heat have a chance to win this thing, and there has never been a better time to get on my bookie and put a few bucks down. And the reason is because if you go on my bookie and you enter promo code OVERTIME, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. So that means, you know, if me, Joe Novice Gambler, is sitting in my house and saying, you know what, I'd like to bet $100. Let's just say $100 on the Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals, which I think they're currently running plus 320 or plus 365. I've even seen in some places. It's a nice value, but I don't want to put $100 down. I could just go to my bookie. I could put $50 down. They're going to double my first deposit to $100. And suddenly I have a $100 bet where all I had to do was bet $50. And obviously, you know, if you want to put a few bucks more than that, if you're a little less conservative, feel free. They also have all the NFL bets and prop bets, cross sport bets, anything you could possibly want. And don't forget, again, use that promo code OVERTIME. And let's see, this episode is dropping to you on Wednesday, September 30th. So if you do this today, you still have time. What is this? It is take a snapshot of your sign up page when you sign up for MyBookie and email it to overtime@advertisecast.com. And if you do that, you're going to be eligible to win $500 that will be given away at the end of this month. So one more time, the promo code when you sign up, OVERTIME, to double your first deposit, and then take a screen grab of your MyBookie account and email it to OVERTIME@advertisecast.com and be eligible to win $500 given away today, Wednesday, September 30th. Don't waste any time doing that. And now, without any further ado, my interview with FSU's assistant coach and head recruiter, Charleston Young. Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, he is an assistant coach with the Florida State Seminoles. You know, there's only one team in college basketball this year that had multiple players, you know, who actually played for them the whole year that are have a chance to be picked in the lottery. And it ain't Duke, it ain't Kentucky, it ain't UNC, it ain't any of those blue blood schools. It's Florida State. And the man who has done some recruiting for them, I'm gonna try to tiptoe, because I could say is the head, you know, is the reason behind that they have had this talent influx of NBA players over the last several years. But I'm gonna, I don't want to overstep. So, Charlton Young, Coach Young, how you doing, my man?
Man, I appreciate it, and let me say this right away. Jalen Hamilton has put together a Fortune 500, a small Fortune 500 company here at Florida State, and we work as a team, we work as a committee to recruit and to close, and we got a tremendous amount of chemistry on our staff, starting with Jalen Hamilton, our associate head coach Stan Jones, Steve Smith, Dennis Gates, who is a big part of us rebuilding here over the last 7-8 years. He's now the head coach at Cleveland State. We had so much chemistry on our staff that it shows in the way we coach, in the way we recruit. So all of us have been point men on certain guys over the last this run of Malik Beasley, Dwayne Bacon, Jonathan Isaac, Terrence Mann, Kamigeli. You know, we've had a lot of pros in the last 4 years, and we've all been point men on a bunch of them. But in order to recruit at the level where we are recruiting now, it takes a team. It takes a committed group to put your heads together and really put your relationships together, and then put a strategic plan together and get a guy in a desk. It's hard to sign a big time recruit. People don't realize that.
I can imagine.
Yeah, guys. People think these guys just show up on campus. You know what I mean? It's probably a 3 or 4 year relationship to get a guy in a desk at Florida State. So we're proud of what we're doing, and I appreciate the love, no question. But I would like to think that I had some type of impact here, but the small Fortune 500 company that Jalen Hamilton has put together, we really are. You know, I heard you use the word blue blood, man, and you can't do that when a Florida State guy's on the phone, right? Like that's you can't do that. That's like against the law.
Well, I think the term is changing. It's changing because you guys are doing it, and I have to say real quick, because what you did, especially the last couple of years, was, you know, some schools, you know, I don't know what people promise and don't promise, you know, certain in terms of playing time, in terms of stats and this and that. You guys ran and have been running for a bit now such an equal opportunity system where you have a full 10 man rotation, if not more.
12.
Exactly. And
12.
And with the way you guys play defense and with the energy and the hustle, you need to have that many. And yet you have gotten this level of player to buy into that without promising, like, you're going to whatever average X points a game and be featured. And that, I think, that's the real accomplishment here. So, you know, you could be humble
let me address that. We are not a blue blood. You know, what you call a new blood.
I like that.
That's right. So when we out recruit, we tell them, hey, come play for the new blood. That's who we are. And we are committed to revolutionizing college basketball. You know, we want to wear people down. We sell guys. If they come in and they buy in, they learn to defend at a high level, they play the game the right way, they play efficiently, you got a better chance to get into the National Basketball Association. With the minutes you get, if you're efficient, you're going to get your name called. And that's kind of what's, that's exactly what's happening here at Florida State. You look at Jonathan Isaac, who was the sixth pick in the draft, averaged 12.7, averaged 8 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And he played the game the right way. He played to win. And I think it's getting to the point now. I mean, you're here talking about Patrick Williams and Devin Vassell, who very well both may go before 11. But Trent Forrest, our point guard and leader, our Rajon Rondo type point guard, he's probably going to go between 33 and 45 in the second round.
I was going to ask you about him. He's an NBA player. I mean, you
really good. A point guard, not a points guard. A point guard. And it's not many of those guys left, and you need one. You know, people are looking at the Lakers now, and everybody's going to talk about LeBron, and they're going to talk about Anthony Davis. But the reason they're probably going to win the championship is Rajon Rondo playing point. You need a point guard, a guy that's pushing pace, that's creating that opportunities for everybody, that's getting us baskets in 6 seconds or less. I've been coaching 26 years now. You know, this ain't my first rodeo. My first big-time signee was Moochie Norris in 1994. I had a beeper on when I signed him.
he came into the game with a flamethrower on his back. He could put it in the basket.
But the Lakers are probably going to win because they got a point guard. And the one thing I know about basketball, 26 years, is the best time to score is when there's nobody down there. You can lay it up, you can dunk it, you can do all kind of stuff. Run fast. That's what we tell our guys. You confused, run fast.
You just reminded me of the game that Trent had against Duke. Did he end up with the 8? I think it was 8 steals, which was a Cameron indoor.
Broke the record at Cameron.
Yeah. And when you talk about being unselfish and a point guard, and that actually, you know, I know you're talking about Trent. That leads me to think of Devin, because, you know, I've watched obviously several games of his, and I don't know that I could remember a bad shot in terms of a shot where, you know, look, they don't all go in, but in terms of monopolizing the offense at any point in time, he doesn't do that. And is that just something that's built into him naturally from you know, his upbringing, I guess?
No doubt about it. Devin Vassell is a special kid, special player, special human being, a different type guy. He has the ability to affect a basketball game in a non-ball dominant fashion like nobody you've ever seen. That's why he's going to be such a good NBA player, because you could put him on the floor and not call a play for him, and he's still going to have 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 4 steals, and a bunch of deflections. You know, when I recruited him, to be honest with you, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this, but people actually laughed at me. I mean, and I'm talking about not a chuckle. I mean, a hard laugh. Like, ha, 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 ha. I can't believe that. You know, he was ranked like.
He was around 200, if I recall, right?
Yeah. No, that's a lie. I had the politic to get him to 200. So it
was
so bad when we signed him.
Okay.
He was like 400 or something. But don't get it twisted. I went in to see him. I watched 6 minutes. I offered him a scholarship on the spot. He was 6'4" and a half, 166 pounds. His hairline was down to his eyebrow. He had one string of hair on his chin. I said, this guy's going to eat some whoppers. He's going to do some push-ups. He's going to grow. Bambi's going to get some bucks on his head, and he's going to be a pro. I could see it just as clear as day. And the only two offers he had, when I called him over, I stopped the scrimmage, and I said, hey, do you want a scholarship to Florida State? His hands was trembling. He said, yes, sir. I said, who's recruiting you? He said, Presbyterian in North Florida. I couldn't believe it. I said, I've been living right. Thank you.
I got to tell you, I have not yet heard of that particular institution, but I take it, I'm sure they're wonderful. But not Florida State.
And listen, we got him committed. You know, my staff trust. They watched him. They said, "See why we believe in you. Take him." I mean, it was crazy. Great family, high character family, God fearing family, close knit family. He didn't take a bunch of visits. He committed before he ever came on the visit. I mean, he's one of the easiest recruits we ever signed. And he was ranked number 17 in Atlanta. Think about that.
I saw that earlier today, and I couldn't believe it.
17 in the city of Atlanta. But, you know, it happens all the time. A lot of people.
Yeah, why is that?
A lot of people just can't evaluate. And I'm not trying to sound like an arrogant individual, because I'm not. I have a tremendous amount of humility, but I'm just being brutally honest with you. Most people are listening and they're reading, but they're not watching. See, our staff, our entire staff, we don't read a list. So when we walk into a gym, we don't know who is who. We just evaluate. So when we watch a guy and we like him and he fits, if he's a high character gym rat, and he has size at position, he has athletic ability and skill, he has high-speed Wi-Fi. That's what Devin has. We call it a high IQ.
Can I ask you about that real quick? Because I watch him on defense, and I don't know that there's a player in the draft who has better timing on rotations than he does. And isn't. It's incredible
to
me.
The other two that's close play for Florida State. Pasadena and Fort. But I'll tell you this. I went to see him, right? And in 6 minutes, he did everything you could possibly do in a basketball game. On the defensive side of the floor and on the offensive side of the floor. Here's an example of Devin Vassell, okay? You know, I pride myself on not being blurt man. So when I say something, I want to have data to back it up. So I go see Devin Vassell, right? Let's just say this. Let's say I'm guarding John at the top of the key.
Okay. Right?
And Stephen Curry is in the corner. And Devin Vassell is guarding Stephen Curry. And everybody knows John is going to cook old Coach CY, who's old with a bad back. He's going to blow by him and go left, right?
Yeah.
So if it's Devin Vassell in the gap, now, most people are going to say, hey, I got Stephen Curry. I'm staying locked. And then John going to blow by old Coach CY and butter roll me with his left hand, right? Get a layup. Okay? The other guy is going to come over and help and stop John, and then you're going to kick it in the corner and to Steph Curry, and guess what? Automatic 3 points.
Money in the bank.
Devin Vassell is in that gap. He knows that you're probably going to cook me. So he starts bluffing and retreating before you ever come out his way. So then when you come his way, you think he's coming to close the gap. And when you throw it to Steph Curry in the corner, he just reaches out with his right arm. He intercepts the pass. He takes one dribble and he whips it down the court to a guy going down the left side who lays it up. That's what we call high speed Wi-Fi.
I love it.
You understand? This guy's ability to anticipate and bait people into stuff, it's like I've been blessed to recruit a lot of guys. Like, I was at Georgia Tech in Auburn before I came to Florida State.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've been blessed to, you know, Thaddeus Young, Iman Shumpert, Derek Favors, Anthony Morrow, Marquise Daniels, like Tony Douglas. I've recruited some gorillas now, some real silverback gorilla pros, right? But I watched this dude, and I had never seen anybody with the high-speed Wi-Fi on the offensive side and the defensive side. Now, I've seen it on the offensive side, but the guy don't have it on the defensive side. And then I've seen it on the defensive side, and the guy don't have it on the offensive side. But Devin Vassell, like, if he's in the corner and you try to throw a lob pass over the top of a guy on a high-low, there's no way you're completing that pass. He's going to break on it. He's going to steal it. If he's outside the paint on this side and you drive the baseline, on the other side, he's going to rotate over and pin it on the glass. Like, he's a rim protector at 6'7".
I couldn't believe he averaged one block a game. And again, this is a kid that you said he was whatever he was, 6'4 and 160 pounds soaking wet when you found him.
Yeah, but now he's 6'7", 200. And when you say somebody's a pro, there's nothing new under the sun. You look at a guy and you say, who is he? Right? Even LeBron James, he's Magic Jordan.
That's a good one. I like that.
But if you look at, when I first saw Devin Vassell, I said he's Allen Houston.
Oh, why you have to throw that name out there? That name has some meaning around these parts now.
I thought he was Allen Houston. That's why. Now, as he got a little longer, and I started saying, and I don't know if it's a good thing to say because he didn't play well in the playoffs. You say he got a Paul George. But I signed him because I knew he was a pro because I could see Allen Houston. He was 6'6 at the time. Shoot it like Jimmy Chitwood off Hoosiers. Athletic. Play both sides of the ball. I just felt like he had to eat some whoppers and do some push-ups. Get, you know, Bambi. He was like Bambi. He had to get bucks on his head. But I felt like in a year and a half, he was special. Patrick Williams. He's a poor man's Kawhi Leonard. Right? 6'8", 237. Shoots it well enough to keep you honest. Same thing as Devin. Deflection, steals, blocks. Patrick Williams impacts a game. He gets more done on accident than 75% of the people get done on purpose. Just keeping the ball alive, blocking shots, running the lane.
He seems like he's still figuring it out. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, he's just a baby. He's the youngest guy in the draft. He's straight from the prom. He's 18, go. He's 18.
I think he's 19 birthday just passed. Yeah, no, he's the youngest. I think maybe there's an international player or two who might be younger. But yeah, he's as young as they come.
The last 10 games of the season, you could see him coming and getting better. Like, I hate that America didn't get the chance to see the Seminoles in the NCAA tournament. And Michael runs in that. Cause
I was going to ask you about that at the end.
Bell and Patrick Williams. I mean, we were really coming. You know how you start playing your best basketball at the right time?
Sure, yeah.
And those guys would have really introduced themselves to the country. And I got to throw MJ Walker in that deal, too. MJ Walker is the next guy. MJ Walker and Raquan Gray are the next two guys that probably going to be pros, will be pros out of our program. And they were, you know, MJ Walker is a Gary Harris, Marcus Smart type guy, tough, really shoots it, defender, knock down shots, lock you up, fight you if you have to. Raquan Gray is like a Draymond Green 2.0, like 6'8", 250. 255, can handle it, shoot it, pass it. But we were really playing well. And, you know, I really thought Trent could have played his way in the late first round. You know how it is. You know, just like DiVincenzo back, you know, Villanova makes a run to the Final Four, winning that championship, and he winds up in the first round out of nowhere. But Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams, and I'm going to say this, and you know, I hope none of my other babies are listening or hear this. I don't want them to get mad at me, but those two guys, I think year 4 or 5, they got a chance to be all-stars. And we've had pros that were really, really good. I loved Malik Beasley. I thought he was Byron Scott. But these are the first two we've had. You know, Bacon is really good. Jonathan Isaac is a special talent. But these two guys, they could be all-stars in year 4 or year 5. Like, they're that. They got the it factor. They really do.
We got a coach here now who, you know, has coached his fair share of all-stars. He has a reputation for being, I guess I'll say a little tough, would be probably the way Tibbs would put it. Do you think these are the types of kids that would take to that type of coaching?
Unequivocally. They play for Jalen and Hamilton. They know that they got to defend, rebound, and play the game the right way, or you're not going to play. They have a tremendous amount of professionalism. They are high character gym rats. These are three kids, Trent Forrest, the guys coming out now. These guys love the game, not the lifestyle. They love the game.
That's a distinction. That's an important distinction.
Yeah, it's a big difference, Coach. Like these guys, they love to watch film. They love to train. Like Devin Vassell, if I went on a recruiting trip, I had to come back early because he was calling me to get a workout late that night. And he was like, Coach, where you at? Oh, where you at? Like, you got to come back in. I want to work on my left hand. I want to do this. I want like, and they were like this, like the Rain Man. Got to work out. Got to work out. Got to work out. Like, like these guys are good. And think about what these three guys accomplished. We are Florida State. We won the ACC regular season title.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Not an insignificant accomplishment.
We flipped North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, Louisville. Okay? We play in the NBA South.
That's a good way to put it.
So think about how good these three guys got to be to flip the ACC. You understand what I'm telling you? You got to be really, really good.
It shines through when you watch. And I wanted to ask you, because on defense, you've talked a lot about defense. Speaking of talking, players for FSU, it seems like they never shut up on defense. And like, you can't always hear it if you're just watching. Is that, how do you guys get to that point where to get guys talking so much and be so active and so cognizant of what's going on?
We have worked a lot on our culture. I mean, again, I can't tell you enough. Jalen Hamilton has put together a small Fortune 500 company. We have a team psychologist I got to give a shout out to by the name of Dr. Carr, who's amazing, who's been with us the last 6 years. We start early working on our culture and teaching our kids the importance of professionalism and keeping their humility and doing the little things. And it's just a great learning environment. And again, we get a certain type guy. You know, there's big time players that's calling us now that we don't recruit, and everybody's mad at us. You got to recruit this guy. But from a character standpoint, right, they don't fit us.
So FSU basketball, what is FSU basketball? What would you say it is? What do you, when you walk into someone's living room, what is your, is there like one sentence that you could boil it down to, or is it more than that?
I would say this, and I don't know how many sentences it is, though, so don't talk bad about me when I get off your show. But
I'm not counting words. It's okay.
I would say high character gym rats. Guys, the guys that we get now, that we recruit, we know that when they finish playing basketball, that they're going to own 22 car dealerships, or they're going to be a GM of a team, or they're going to own Starbucks. Like, those are type guys that we look for. And there's a certain type guy that, and no disrespect to anybody, but
sure,
like some guys just lose their humility. And I would say this, their core values don't match ours. Because at the end of the day, right, the kids that come play at Florida State, they're just like their leader, Jalen Hamilton. They understand that I am not Nelson Mandela. I am not Martin Luther King. I did not make the cure for cancer. All I do is play basketball.
That's a good way of putting it, though.
So everybody who comes out of our program because of our leader, they keep their humility and they just want to get better. Where there's some guys that you can see playing on the AAU level, they already are convinced that they are Gandhi, that they are Elvis Presley, and we don't recruit those guys.
You keep them humble somehow.
No question.
That's impressive.
And that's why we've had success. And there's certain guys that, hey, I love everybody. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't trying to fight. But you're just not our type guy. You know what I mean?
Well, you got a guy coming. You got a guy coming down the pike, Mr. Barnes, who, you know, again, talk about something that people should be excited for. Not to get ahead of ourselves here, but
very special.
Yeah, he seems. I got to ask you one more on Dev though, because I just have to imagine coming from a place where he was not highly recruited. Do you think he'll carry a chip on his shoulder with him into the NBA, even after getting taken in the lottery?
God. Oh, my God. He got a chip as big as the United States of America on his shoulder. He remembers every guy that's ever been ranked in front of him, and he's still mad about it, and he talks about it all the time. Now, listen, you know, a lot of people see him as a nice little Huxtable from Suwanee, Georgia, Peachtree Ridge High School. In between the lines, he's a nasty dude now. Like, he's pissed off, and he never believed that he wasn't a five-star guy. Like, nobody could ever convince him of that, you know what I mean? And so the fact that, you know, he has this reputation of being a guy that wasn't ranked high coming out of high school, he wakes up every morning mad about it. And he's never going to stop trying to prove guys wrong. But he just, here, I'll tell you a story about Devin Vassell. I got to tell you, this is the epitome of Devin Vassell. Okay. So my relationship with Devin Vassell is special because him and his family, they feel like I was the only one that believed in him. So when I first signed him, I wanted to redshirt him.
Really?
And I told him.
Wow. Okay.
And I told his dad. And his dad said, "Coach, we loyal to you guys. And whatever y'all say y'all want us to do, we're going to do. But I'm telling you, Devin going to show y'all he ain't redshirt." So I said, okay, but if that's the case, you know, if that's the case, that's great. So the kid gets here and he starts playing pickup. And I knew he was a pro. I told Coach Hamilton, he's not going to be in a rotation that's redshirted, I think he's a one-and-done guy.
Really? Wow. Okay.
I'm like, if we take a year, and we had just done the same thing with Camagelli. Camagelli was a redshirt. You know, he wasn't one-and-done, but we redshirted him, and he became a pro. So anyway, they start playing pickup, and Trent Forrest is coming in the office, and he's saying, "Hey, coaches, this young boy is for real. Like, we can't redshirt him." But me, because of his body, I'm thinking not because of his game, but because he was like Bambi. He just needs 1 year to work on his body. Long story short, he's killing in pickup. Jalen Hamilton said, can't redshirt him. So we go into the year, and he gets 5 DNPs. 5. You know what?
I'm imagining he didn't take that well, or how did he react?
Now, listen, here's what you got to know. 5 DNPs. The kid comes to my office after all 5. He says, "Unc, let's go get a workout." We put 45 minutes on the clock, and he went and did a game workout that was a killer. His mama didn't call me. His daddy didn't call me. His AAU coach didn't call me. His high school coach didn't call me. And he didn't cry a word. I was more upset than he was. He said, "Coach, don't worry about it. When Coach Hamilton called my name, I'm going to be ready." Now, think about that in 2020. We throw him out there against Clemson. He locks up Marquise Reed, who was leading the ACC in scoring. He scored about 7 or 8 points. The guy was averaging 21. He held up to like 11 or 9. The next game, we throw him out there. He comes off the bench. He catches one off the rim versus Notre Dame. He scores about 14. After that, it was off and running. He was in the rotation. We get late, and this is the shot that changed him. Late in the year, we're in the ACC tournament.
Okay.
And we're in trouble. Virginia Tech is about to send us to the house. He comes off the bench. He scores about 18. But he hits a 3 in the corner with 2 seconds left to tie it up to send the game to overtime. that shot changed him.
Wow, really? Okay.
When he hit that shot, he was already a confident guy. His confidence was quiet confidence. It was never shaken. But when he hit that shot in the ACC tournament, it to him, it was like when Michael Jordan hit the shot for the national championship as a freshman. You know what I mean? He felt like, I'm that guy. Yeah, I could see it in his workouts. I could see it in his body language. I could see it the way he started communicating. When he hit that shot in the ACC tournament as a true freshman, deep in the corner to save the game, and he dunked on two guys too, twice, by the way. You go watch it on film, it's unreal.
He could get up.
After that game, he knew he was the real deal. And he just took off from there. But how many guys, most guys after one DMP, they transfer at halftime. That's the amount of professionalism that this kid has at a young age. And that's why he's going to be successful in the NBA.
You talk about the NBA, and you know, I like you, I've been watching the playoffs and before that the bubble, and it just seems like there's no such thing anymore as being able to have a weak spot on either end of the floor. If you have a weak spot on offense, if you have a weak spot on defense, these teams are going to find it. And to have guys who can play on a string on defense and who can move with the ball and move with a purpose with the ball on offense, not to mention knock down a shot. And it seems like not that there was ever a time where he wouldn't have fit in the league, but you know, especially with the switchability he offers, it seems like the time a guy like Devin Vassell could come into the league and really, you know, make a name for himself.
No question. I watched Tyler Hero in the way he shoots the ball and plays without the ball and his IQ. And Devin has length and athleticism, probably a little more than he has. And Devin could be that kind of guy. Devin is, and I don't want to make everybody sad in New York, but like if he went to Portland and played with Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, they could throw him in the mix with him and he could right away impact the game, even though they're not running anything through him, just by playing in the flow. And, you know, I hope New York drafts him.
Well, they like him from what I
can. In your organization, he would get them a raise. No question. Cause he's gotten me too. Right?
Yeah. Well, listen, I feel comfortable saying it. I know they like him. I've heard that from a few people now. And it's obvious why when you watch the tape, it's obvious. It's even more obvious hearing you talk about it. Listen, coach, I can't thank you enough for the time. And it's, you know, we're recording this late on a Saturday night in the middle of the Laker game. Really, truly, it means a lot that you come on here and share your wisdom, share your insight about all three of the kids. And listen, we got a month and a half to go, but I'm excited to see where all of them wind up. And I'm sure they are too.
Well, I really enjoyed it, man. You have a blessed evening and stay in touch.
Absolutely. Will do. Take care.